Father, glory come. Glory come even more than what we experienced this morning. Let it just thick cloud of glory come in this place. Cloud of love. Love in your presence with how much you love each one of us individually, Lord. Father, I pray that you break our hearts with compassion for this town. His anointing is so strong in this place. I just want you to lift your voice for your spouse, for your unsaved friends that they don't know Jesus yet. Just declare them in the kingdom. It's almost like pull them in. Father, I just pray for these unsaved people, unsaved spouses, people on the streets that we walk past each every day. They will just plant something into our hearts, into our souls, that we will not be able to see them again the way we saw them always just passing by. Father, that there just be such a compassion in us and such a love that we just break our hearts for this nation. For this youth, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that this church would own this town. They will own it. They will say, this is my town. This is my street. I disagree what's going on in the night. I disagree what's going on. Father, but we want to bring your kingdom. Yes. We want to see your kingdom come in this town. Yes. Father, come. Come in your glory. Yes. Come in your passion. May this jealousy, zealous spirit within us rise up like a lion, Father, for this town. Let us see with your eyes the way you see this town. Hallelujah. Wow. So, I don't know if I should say anything at all. I'm so blessed to be with you today. It's such an incredible privilege to be with you guys. So I was looking forward to it. As soon as Steve said it to me, I was like, Lord Jesus, what could we share? What should we do? I was trying to prepare service yesterday. It didn't work. So I'm just going to share it from my heart. Is that all right with you? I just want to be honest with you. Just share it from my heart. And as a backdrop, if you could have a look in your Bibles, I love Mark chapter 5. I'm going to be sharing from chapter 5, verse 21. And this is just kind of like a going to be background story going on. And but first of all, I would like to share, do you like jokes in here? Or are you all serious, like me? No, you do like jokes, yeah? So can I say one? Sometimes people say it doesn't travel because I'm Ukrainian. But I'm going to test you and see if it does travel. You all understand me, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't, just go to my wife. She will interpret for you. That's my lovely wife, Jessica. Would you stand up? Many know her. And those who don't know me, I'm Slava. I'm part of Borden Church. Lovely church. As lovely as you are as well. So anyone welcome to visit and just say hi to us. It will be great. So this is year 2030. And scientists become really clever. So they now can create a human being. And one of them said, God, we don't need you anymore. And God said, right, let's just do a contest, should we? And they said, yeah, okay. I say, let's create a human being to start from the beginning. And the scientists say, yeah, sure, why not? No problem. So God comes down. He just picks up a bit of the dirt from the ground, creates a human being, just puts his breath into that, and he becomes a human being. Now, scientist reaches down, starts to pick up the earth, and God said, no, get your own earth. It does travel, yeah? You know, you might think that we don't need God in our lives, but we do need him every day, eh?
Amen.
It's so great. Let me read something from the Bible, because we're all spiritual people. And because we love Bible. You know, one of my favorite Gospels at the moment is Mark. I probably read it twice already in a couple of months. And I absolutely love it. Maybe because I'm similar in my character to Mark. And if something is happening, I'm really get excited. So I do apologize. I might get really excited in a minute. Because when God is in me and I love him so much and he does great things, I just get excited. Come on, people, yeah. You know, when he does amazing things, I get excited.
Amen.
And the way I look at the Bible, I look at Mark, It is something different. You know, I look at it as somebody would tell me the stories, what is happening. You know, we can just read and say, this is just a book. This is just another story. But I would like to see, would like to tell you, have a look from different kind of angle. It's like your mate is telling you a story what he experienced yesterday. That's how alive it is. That's how living it is. That's how real it is, the stories. And one of them is, and when Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the other side, it's 21. So chapter 5, verse 21, and it's going to be all the way, I'm not going to read everything, it's going to be all the way to 43. So basically half of the chapter. You can read it at home. But I'm not going to read everything, yeah? So what happened before it? I'm just going to fill you in. So before that, disciples experienced a massive storm in the lake. They're fishermen, right? They were scared to death. They were drowning. And then Jesus wakes up and comes out of the storm. You know the story, yeah? And he comes across. And what strikes me when I was reading it, that there was this possessed man that nobody could tame. And he had a legion of demons. You know the story as well, yeah? Nothing else happened, but Jesus crossed the lake just to deliver him. One person. One person. That's how much he cares for people. That's how much he loves people. And then he went back across the lake. So this story is now happening after that. So we recrossed the lake. And what strikes me, that there was lots of multitudes of people. When Jesus is, when the miracle is happening, there's always multitude of people. They were all over the place. They came because they heard he's coming. So then verse 22, then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name. And seeing him, he prostrating himself at his feet. So this guy, he's like somebody in the council or mayor of Aldershot. Yeah, he comes over and he knows there is a Jesus. So he just lays down on the ground. Would you ever see it? You know, he was desperate. And you know, sometimes the kind of like a noble feeling, noble understanding could get on your way. Your degree could get on the way for God to move. Your importance in life or who you are can get on the way for God to move. You can question God and say, do I really need him at the moment? I have everything like a scientist. I can now do almost the same thing what God does. Jairus, he was somebody who was noble. He was well known. And he lay down on the ground. I don't see in my Bible, doesn't say that people run across seeing that this is important man is here. Let's lay some carpet so he doesn't fall in the dust. There was no tarmacs in those days. It was just dust. And he prostrated himself on the floor before Jesus. And he's saying, my daughter is ill. Would you please come, lay your hands on her so she may be healed. Jesus being Jesus, as lovely he was when he was on earth and as lovely he is when he is now. He said, yes, I'm coming. So he was walking. And by the way, he healed another woman on the way. Just by the way. He's going, he's focused. He's going to see the daughter, you know, to pray for her so she can be healed. But by the way, there was a woman mentioned in the story. And this is Mark saying, you remember this guy? By the way, you remember he was going and this Jairus guy says to me, come and pray for my daughter. But he was saying, but by the way, do you remember there was this woman? Oh, yes. I must write it down. There was this woman. And she went to the doctors, and doctors said, that's it. We can't do anything for you. She lost all her money. She lost all her possessions. And she still had a problem with bleeding. And she comes to the multitudes. And it says in the Bible, it speaks about how tight everything was. The people were kind of almost strangling Jesus, just really come to him closer. Some of them, they were coming because they heard of the stories. Some of them, they came because they wanted to challenge him. You know, you have all the people, sometimes they're there because they heard there's lots of miracles happening in your church. Although some people, they come because they're skeptical. That happens as well. There's many things, I've seen many miracles, and people are still skeptical at times. And it doesn't matter. As long as a person gets healed and he's well, it's fine with me. And it's fine with that person. It doesn't matter who's taking Mickey out of your skeptical or whatever. It doesn't matter. But there was this multitude of people, and this woman, she has to fight through the crowd. And she was keep saying, only if I touch him. She was kept saying it. oh, this is multitude. I can't be bothered to go through all of it. He's all the way there. And there's all the way people like a wall. But only if I get there, this is my focus. Only I can go. Only if I can touch him, I will get healed. Are you here today expecting something from God special? Only if I can get there. Only if I can touch Jesus. Not even him, just his clothes, what he's wearing. Only if I can touch him, I will get healed. And she came to this crowd and she touched him. And he said, who touched me? And disciples, are you kidding me? It's everybody around. What are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. So no, there was this woman. And she was afraid. And she said all the truth. And said, I was there. And Jesus said, well, your faith healed you. And your sickness will never come back. How wonderful is that? And while he was still talking, and Jairus is there, his servant comes and he says, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter is dead. She died. I want to read you this. So 5:35. Listen to that. While he was still speaking, there came from one of the ruler's house. There came some from the ruler's house, who said to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? Overheating, but ignoring what they said. This is Amplified Bible, so it's slightly different interpretation. I love this interpretation. Highly recommend it. Oh, you do get jokes. Great. overhearing, but ignoring what they said. Not overheating, overhearing. I'm just checking if you pay attention, but you do. You're wonderful people. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. So there is natural thing to be struck with the fear. You know, daughter is dead. They came back with this news. But Jesus kind of ignored it. He said, just believe. And another thing was, they said, don't distress teacher any further. You know, funerals could be distressing. There's preparation going on there. And my lovely wife, she experienced one of the funerals in Ukraine. So I preached a sermon with my pastor and then the second sermon. And then we got invited to the gypsy funeral. Well, they know how to mourn. It's similar culture to a Jewish people. What do? They actually hire people to weep. So, I don't know this guy. My pastor said I need to go to the funeral, so I went there. Jess was with me, happy to be. We didn't have the car, so she could drive home. But we got into the Zoom and we've been pushed right to the front because I'm a preacher, you know. I wasn't preaching in the funeral, I was just with my pastor. So they pushed us right in the front. So we're standing here, coffin open, and there's this guy. Who is here? You know. And then they love the violin, so there's music. And ooh, dead, you know. All like, amazing. So Jesus comes to this house, and I can imagine he just hear this. In the room going on there, in the house, this crying going on, this professional criers there, professional, like a professional carpet cleaner, this professional crier there. Ah! So he walks in. If you don't believe me, read the Bible. He said, get out, all of you, she's asleep. And they were weeping a minute ago. Ah! They go, ha 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 ha, she's asleep, he's gone nuts. It says, they started crying, they started laughing at him. So he said, right guys, off you go. So he left Peter, he left his disciples with him, three of them, and he said to parents, stay here. Then he reaches out to her and says, Talitha Kumi, which is little girl, get up. Gripping her firmly by the hand, raising her up. And everybody was astonished. She started to run around. This is Mark telling. Guys, he was with Jesus. And he's saying, have you heard this story? what I'm telling you? This is what happened. She starts running around. And Jesus said, because he's a caring God, he said, give her something to eat. She's hungry. She's 12. She's running around. She's hungry. Well, I have boys, 13, 10, and 7. They're quite alive when they wake up. So, she was alive. And you know, it brings me to this kind of place. I always look for the bridges, you know, between how is then things been and how is now things been. And this bridge, what I call, is kind of like bringing it to reality to nowadays as well. So, in Mark chapter, I'm just building the base to what I'm about to say. So, just bear with me. I am going to get to some stories. So, Mark chapter 16, and I'm going to read from verse 17. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. We had the new tongues early on. They will pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. I love that bit. I love everything. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into the heaven, and he sat down in the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen. You hear that? He said to them, go and do it. Then they took responsibility and said, yes, we're going to go and do it. Then they preached the gospel. And when they preached the gospel, God was confirming it with signs and wonders. It gives me something here. You know, sometimes I see some people who have been moving in healings and big ministries, they kind of like fallen. And other people, they get offended. They say, why? Why? God is still working through them. While they're in the sin, God's still healing. Why? And we get offended. I used to get offended. You're probably not. You're not like me. You're more spiritual. But I used to get offended. And God gave me this kind of like peace in heart. And he just told me. You know, it's something special. I heard somebody said it as well. It's nothing to do with the person God heals. And he's faithful to his word. So if his word is saying he's going to heal, he will heal, not because I'm special, but because he's faithful to his word. His word is alive. He's a living God. Hallelujah. And one of the scriptures that met, that's the last one, and I'm going to share my stories. Hebrews 13, that's what Matt prayed this morning. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same. Yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. He's always the same. So the same Jesus who raised a little girl from the dead is the same today, and he will be tomorrow. The same Jesus who said, go and preach the gospel, and the signs and wonders will follow you, is the same then, when he spoke to disciples, same today, and in tomorrow day. How wonderful is that? He never changes. He's constant. Never changes. I don't know, you people, maybe some of you are more great in mathematicians than I am, probably you are, but there's this simple mathematical kind of terminology. If anything to the power of zero is one. You take 1 million to the power of 0 is 1. You take 0 to the power of 0 is 1. You take 1 to the power of 0 is 1. It's constant. Same always. Jesus, 1. Same always. No matter how many troubles and problems are, take to the power of 0. Because there is a 0 of a sin anymore. There's no more sin. Jesus conquered everything on the cross. Some of the stories that the disciples were telling, some of the gospel they is written, is some of the stories that Jesus was going like to heal the daughter, but some of them just as he was walking there.
You know, sometimes you don't expect what God wants to do, but if you tune in to Him, to the heavens, He's going to use you. I'm no more special than any of you. And I've seen so much stuff. Can I share it with you? 2 weeks ago, I was driving back from work, and I stopped at one of the services in Morrison's. And normally, I would go and get something from the hot counter, but I stopped and I went to the cafe. So I'm walking to the cafe, and you know, when you're tired, probably God works better, because you don't think. And you're not kind of thinking what people are going to think about you or what's going to happen. So I'm kind of walking there, and I got my tray. And there's no queue, strangely. It's always a really busy place. And this lady at the till, she's there with a bandage around her elbow. So I was like, oh, come on. I just want to have lunch. But well, you know, I'm tired, so I have no strength to argue. And I didn't have lunch or coffee yet, so I said, what's wrong with you, with your elbow? She said, it's really painful. I did something to my elbow, and it's so painful, it goes all the way to my hand. And it's just like hurting really badly. I said, is it hurting now? She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm still trying to kind of get out of it. I'm just saying, you know, it's really bad, isn't it? But I just feel inside, come on, ask her to pray for her. Okay, Lord, I give up. Saying, would you like me to pray for you? I'm not going to make any scene of you. I just want to be quiet and just pray for you. Is that okay? She said, yes. I was like, okay. Well, let me pray. So I put my hand on her elbow and I started praying for her. Well, I've learned something lately. Don't pray long prayers. They're not needed. Amen. You say name Jesus, say be healed. That's all you need to say. You don't need to convince God to heal anyone. He's done it on the cross. You don't need to convince yourself, because you either believe or don't believe. So I prayed the short prayer and I said, how do you feel? Has anything happened? She said, no. Wonderful. So can I pray again? Okay. So I prayed again. I said, maybe this tingling, I'm just giving her kind of things, you know, to think about. So maybe this tingling or warmth or something. She said, no, nothing happened. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to go and have a sandwich. Happy now? So I'm about to leave. Remember I said to her, be quiet, don't tell anything, and just, you know, I don't want to make scene of it. So she said, oh, this man just prayed for me. She's a manager, yeah, or the tail. There's two waitresses there, and there's another lady in the kitchen chef. So she said, you need a prayer. I was like, okay. So yeah, I can pray for her as well. And and she said, she's been crying the whole morning. Her knee hurts so badly. She can't stand. Come here. So she puts her apron away and say, okay, well. And I said to her, I don't want to make any scene of it. I just want to pray for you. Is that okay? She said, yes. So I go down and I put my hand on her knee and I just pray in the name of Jesus and I said, do you feel any warmth or anything? She said, no. Oh, great. She said, but pain is going. She said, look at that. I can move now. So now I have this audience watching with the big eyes. And I say, wow, look at her. And she starts moving her knee. I said, I'll pray again. So I prayed again. And she starts walking like that and trying it. And now this lady that I prayed earlier, she said, oh, I feel tingling in my hand. I feel tingling in my arm. It's working. Pain is leaving. I haven't touched her. But she now has a faith because she saw what happened. And she said, wow, this is working. Thank you so much. I'm standing there. I said, do you know why this is all happening? Well, they say, why? I said, I have no special powers. I'm just a minister of God. I love my God, and I just worship Him. And this is all what it's about. 2,000 years ago, there was this person, Jesus Christ. He went on the cross. He died for our sins, and He rose again. And this is why this is all happening. So I gave them gospel in the middle of Morrison's. I kid you not, I was expecting you're going to call now on the microphone. And I thought, God, I just want to have my sandwich. But by the way, somebody got healed. I was focused going home because I need painting to do. I just bought a house. But you know what? God wants to use you. Anywhere you are. He doesn't have to be in the meeting. Does He heal in the meeting? Yes, He does. Does He heal in the supermarket? Yes, He does. Does He heal in the car park? Yes, He does. Let grow in the car park as well. So this is what happened in Morrison's. Well, yesterday, we had the fun fair in Borden. We moved to Borden now. So you can congratulate us. We bought the house, which is a different story. It's a faith story completely. It was Friday that we couldn't buy the house, and Monday we put an offer in. All the money came in. This is a separate thing, yeah? But this is a faith story. I'm really excited. God has just done lots of stuff. And yesterday there was a fun fair. It's a walking distance. This is where we gather for the church as well, near the Forest Community Center. And I looked around and I thought, wow. So 1,000 people around. I was thinking, amazing. God, how can I pray for some? Surely there must be somebody to pray for. You know, it's probably just me, but I see need everywhere. I see people limping and I want to jump on them. I say, come on, Jesus died for you, you know. Maybe it's something to do with me. But I'm holding back, saying, Lord, what do you want to do? So, Candy, my wife, bought me some lunch so you could hold me back a bit. You know, my focus changed. And I'm eating, and I'm thinking, this is a really nice barbecue, but Lord, how can we reach to these people? What can I do? And I just felt this inside, pull the healing chair out. Some of you who are friends with me on the Facebook, you saw the healing chair yesterday. So what is it? It's just a chair. And now I don't have any stickers, I don't have anything. So I go back inside of there, and this guy is really friendly of us. He's been coming to our meetings as well. He's a receptionist at that forest center, so he locks and unlocks everything. I said, can I borrow your chair? He said, we don't really want chairs going out. I go on, you can do it. So I take the chair. I said, I need now a piece of paper. So somebody got me a really bright yellow piece of paper. I took the pen and I wrote, healing chair. Prayers free for healing. That's all. That's what came into my mind. So I said, now I need something to stack. So this guy said, oh, I have blue tack that you want to stack it on. And we had this banner, Jubilee banner. I thought, well, I'll take it. And community, my wife was painting faces yesterday, kiddies' faces, because we were part of community. And she had one of these badges saying Jubilee Church. So I stuck it on, went outside, put the healing chair next to me on a path. You know, you need to be kind of like a fisherman. You need to know where the fish is. Everybody going for coffee. And you just stand there on the side and put the healing chair next to you, and I'm just standing there. And all of a sudden, somebody came to me with the leaflets, explaining what the church is like and Father's letter and stuff like that. So I'm standing there with the leaflets. I'm thinking, right, God, if it's you, you're going to send me someone. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? You know, well, just being obedient. So I'm just standing there. And one lady comes and says, oh, hello, I remember you. I went to your church and God healed my leg. I can sit now for a long time. But you know what? My hand is sore. So, okay, sit down in the healing chair, I'll pray for you. So I pray for her. I say, oh, it's loose now. And she just had a chat to me and left. I say, okay, Lord, now I know this lady. Who else? But I will just kind of rewind a bit. There is a really big Masonic place in Borden. And they had their tent on display. So one of our members of the church said, oh, there's Masonic people there. I thought, great, I'm going to go and talk to them. You know, so I was saying, well, you know, guys, that Jesus lives in you, yeah? So where you go, he goes with you, because he's inside of you. So you have direct connection with the heaven. So I go there to Masonic people, to the tent, and I'm kind of looking like as if I am interested to join them. And he looks at me and say, are you interested? I say, well, and I'm being here, you know, like this Jewish mentality, you know, question to the question. I say, well, I never heard of them properly, of you. Because in Ukraine, we don't have them, and I'm Ukrainian, and my accent saves me, you know. So I just kind of say, you know, this. Can you explain to me what you're about? So they say, oh, it's a boys' club, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, I'm so not interested, and something is rising in me. I just want to kind of punch him. And just thinking, Slava, calm down, calm down, calm down. Poor guy, he doesn't see anything else. So I said, well, so what do you believe? Do you actually believe in God? He said, no. I said, okay. So what is it about? And you give me anything to talk about Jesus, and I will. So don't ask me how are you today, because I will tell you. You know, some people ask you how are you, and they don't want to hear. I will tell you. And he said, and we have this kind of think about the Solomon Temple, just briefly. I was thinking, okay, there you are. I said, Solomon Temple, that's how interesting. Did you know that Solomon Temple actually was about the presence of God? Because his father David, He was about the presence of God. So this is about the relationship with Jesus. He stands back, looks at me. I said, well, I need to be really honest with you. I'm a Christian and I'm a minister and I have living relationship with Jesus. And you know what? When I pray, people get healed because God is alive. And he just stands there. And then God gives me word of knowledge. I said to him, do you have any physical pain? And he's like, no, I don't. I said, you sure? And he said, oh, well, my knees are painful. And he said, that's interesting. How did you know? And I said to him, can I pray for you? And he said, no, thank you. You don't need to. But that's very interesting. I left him with that, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, great. You know what? I see things differently. When we were planting West Church, and they were saying this town is a gangster town. There's lots of gangsters there. There's lots of killing going on. And any church that starts there falls up really quick and go nowhere. In 3 months, we had 60 people saved from the world. We've seen signs, wonders, miracles. I changed my opinion. If there is a big Masonic place there, if there is lots of brokenness, this is where God is. He gives you extra grace, extra glory. Prepare yourself for something great in this church. Because when you look in the brokenness of this town, he has the anointing to fix it. Amen. Who do you think he's going to use? All of you. In different ways. How wonderful is that, eh? Amen. So when I'm looking at Masonic, I'm thinking, how dare they come into my town? Own the town. This is your town. It's yours. I challenge you to take responsibility for your street and pray for people. Not just knock on the door and pray for them. If you feel like doing it, do it. Just pray. Just release blessings. Just say, Jesus, bless these people. Bless my neighbors. Just pray blessing over them. You will see changes. I believe that it's so easy to criticize even the government, but if you pray blessing, they'll get these interesting ideas that everybody likes. Where do they come from? By your prayer. God releases it. That's the spirit, guys. That's the spirit. So yesterday, I'm standing there, so this woman gets healed, and I see this guy wandering with a stick, like that, and just barely walking. So he's going past, and he looks at that, and I say, what's that? I said, just sit down. I tell him, this is no special chair. It's just a chair from inside. And I'm no special either. And he's thinking, I'm a fraud. I said, no, but I pray, and God would heal you. I believe. So I said, tell me what's going on with you. Show me his hand, and his bones are broken on his hand. He said it's painful. He said about 7, pain 8. And I could see he's barely kind of holding his hand. He doesn't know what to do with it. And he's holding his stomach because he's got a hernia as well. Well, that's why he can't walk. That's why he has a stick to lean on. So he sat down, and I looked at him. He's Scottish. He lives in Milton Keynes, and he's just visiting in Borden for that day. But my healing chair is there. You know, it's brilliant. So I kind of sit with him, and I put my hand on his hand, and I said, you know, you may experience the tingling or heat and stuff, and I'm just going to pray so this pain will go. So I start praying for him. I said, do you feel anything? He said, no. Well, I give up on warmth and everything now. So I said to him, well, I start praying for his hand. And I said, do you feel anything now? And I looked at him and I started praying for peace for him as well. And he gets zapped with the Holy Spirit. He sits there with his eyes closed. And I see he's enjoying himself. So I start praying, put my hand on his stomach and just start praying for him and bless him and praying for healing. I said, how you feel? He said, wow, pain is going from my hand. I said, how is the hernia area? He said, well, it's releasing it. It's feeling better and better and better. And I said, how are you now? I said, I'm really good. So he stood up. I gave him a big hug. I love hugging people. And he just walked away like Charlie Chaplin with his stick. And now, guys behind me, they had a tent. And they all bodybuilders. They turns around and say, hey, what are you doing? So I just praying for healing. I said, can you pray for my neck? Caught the attention, you know. I said, well, I can. So I woke up and I'm standing next to him. So what's going on? He said, there's about 2 pain in my neck. Comes and goes. And I stand there thinking, this is not right. I said, By any chance, do you have one leg shorter than another? He's a big guy, you know? He's like, and you can see he's working out. There's nothing wrong with him. You can't tell. And he just gives me this wonderful medical term for short leg that I can't remember because I'm not a doctor. So I said to him, is that the short leg? He said, yes. My one leg is shorter than another. I said, okay, let's sit on your special chair as well, because he had the chair to sit down because he was giving leaflets. This event starts from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, so it's a long day. So I turn around his chair, he sat down, and his mate now with him, who's giving those brochures as well, he turns around, he comes to watch it. Yeah? So I take his legs, and I said, what do you see? So his mate's saying, one leg shorter than this. I said, yeah, right. And he's saying, yeah, I know, my left leg is shorter than the right leg. Okay? So I commanded to go, he comes out. His mate is standing with the big eyes. I said, did you just see it? He said, yeah. I said, do you know why it's happening? No, because Jesus Christ is God, and he is alive, and that's the God I worship. And if you want to find something more, he is where we gather, here in this building, every Sunday. He is a leaflet, he is this, and this is a father's letter because he loves you so much. How's that? Our God is wonderful, isn't he? Now I walk away and the woman comes to the tent, and now they're testifying to her what just happened. I don't even have to be there. And they keep looking down for my healing chair. Guys, God is so real. This is just some of the stories. Anywhere you go, God can heal people. He can restore. But don't just look for praying for people with a sickness. There's emotional healing. This Bible speaks about that God wants to turn and heal hearts of sons and turn them toward fathers. Hearts of daughters towards mothers. But that's also healing. It's emotional healing. I don't know what you're today going through. Maybe you need some healing in your bones, in your joints, in your back. It's something the doctor said you can't be healed any longer. Maybe it's internal organs. God was speaking to me about internal organs. Liver, kidneys, heart, diseases. Whatever you have, whatever the doctor says. I believe God and I'm pushing through with the faith for the creative miracle. I pray for one guy at work, one of the contractors. And he has something missing in his knee. I see I'm not a doctor. I can't remember these terms. I'm not that clever. So I sat him down on some plastic container, and I said to him, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. So I put my hand on it, and he said, that's weird, something happened. And it's eased off. God created something inside of his knees, I believe, because pain was gone, and he went only for a run for 6 miles. Wow. He couldn't do it. Last night we went to the party, and you know, I used to have dentists in my church when I was senior pastor, and then and everybody knew he was dentist, so they come to him and say, look at my tooth. I say, come to me tomorrow. I'm actually the church today. Yeah, if you didn't notice, you know. And it's kind of a bit of sense of humor God has, you know. So yesterday one guy, he comes to me and said, oh, my back is just so sore. The disc falling out. I have a pain in my leg here. And just standing next to me and his wife. I say, can I pray for you? Would you like to be healed? So I would love to be healed. So I quickly put my hand and I just command the healing to come. And I say, oh, it's gone. Look, I can touch myself. It's not painful. And he started raising his leg, didn't he? So high, I can't do it. I was like, he's doing splits, you know, standing. And he's saying, look at that. And then he's touching his floor like that. I say, I couldn't do it either. God heals people instantly. He loves people. Today is a special day, I believe. I've got an anointing oil. I don't know why I carry it. I never even carry it. But today, maybe for some of you, it's something special. It says Frankenstein's and Myrrh, so it's a special one. Love you so much. And it's recorded as well, isn't it? Just deleted off. Brilliant. So, yeah, this thing. we believe when we pray for you and we put this anointing oil, if you don't need it, you just need a prayer. And I'm just going to ask Richard and other guys who, you know, who pray for people who seeing healing and stuff, just come and pray together with us. I would like to kind of split this in the group. So if you have problems with internal organs, the doctors told you, or you feel unwell, just come to the left. In the middle, we'll have somebody, if you have problems with the joints, like bones and stuff, and I will pray for you, because I love praying for bones, so, you know, and stuff. And if you have emotional problem, Matt, maybe you can join and just pray for people with the, if you feel that you need kind of like emotional healing as well from your past and stuff. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. And, you know, with God's help, we're all family, aren't we? And God loves us so much. And hopefully I stirred up your faith a bit as well. So let's see what God is going to do. Let's have fun. Yeah. Let's have fun. So, as I said, just come up. If you have a need, if you don't have a need, just worship God. Yeah? It's fine. You don't have to be like, because I said you need to come up. But if you have a pain in your shoulder, so in the middle row is going to be joints. Yeah? If you have a pain in your shoulder, if you have a pain in your ankle, in your foot, your hand, wrist, or arm altogether, you have pain in your joints, there's maybe a sports injury, these things that I'm calling out, come and just, I would love to pray for you. If you feel the back pain and you have a short leg or something like that, this is not word of knowledge about the short leg, it just happens. So just come and God is going to grow your leg as well, so you can walk normally and you have no pain. This is not coming, I'm not saying I'm special, but I know my God is. It has nothing to do with me, guys. It's to do with 2,000 years ago. God told me something, probably a couple of days ago. He sends His glory. And we are here to give that glory back to Him. It belongs to Him. Yeah? So thank you, Jesus, because you're so good to us. And you're so wonderful. And I just love you to the bits. To the last molecule of my body, of my being, I love you so much, Lord. And you know it. I love chatting to you. And I just love seeing people being whole. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your angelic presence in this place. And I pray, Father, for the needs of these people, Lord, that your glory will come so thick. Thank you, Jesus. You can start coming up if you want. And we're just going to pray for you.